So week started out and got closer and closer to Sunday. I thought I had a message on my mind, been meditating on it all week long. But as the week went along, I start to get more and more convicted towards something else, and so ended up perhaps changing what I planned to speak on yesterday evening. But the conviction that I had, and I'm not saying this so you can say, oh, poor Brother Nathan, not saying it so you can pat me on the back and say it's okay, but the conviction that I've had this week is that there are many areas in my life that I am not diligent enough in. There are many areas of my life, my work life, my physical life, my ministry, where I feel like I've been very slothful. I feel like I've been very lazy in these different areas of my life. And I've, as I said, been convicted of that lately. I feel like I don't put in the time that I should to prepare messages for the Lord's people. I feel like I fail when it comes to communication with members. I hope that you'll forgive me and overlook my shortcomings, and I'll plan to do better in the future. But I'll be honest with you, when I got a text this week saying that one of our members' surgeries was successful, I thought, I didn't know anything about this surgery. Maybe I should have known. Maybe I should have been reaching out and saying, hey, how is life going? And maybe it would have come up, everything's well, Brother Nathan, but I have a surgery coming up. And so I'm very convicted in the slothfulness that has overtaken many areas of my life. And so this morning, if the Lord would bless for a short time, I would like to bring you a message that I would entitle The Struggle of the Slothful. The Struggle of the Slothful. And we'll turn this morning to Proverbs chapter 24, and we'll begin in verse 30. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30. No doubt Solomon enjoyed times away from the castle. No doubt Solomon enjoyed times when he could take off the robe of state and go out and enjoy the beauty of nature. But as he was away and he was taking in what nature had, notice what he says. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. So Solomon here, he's writing about a slothful man, a man void of understanding, as he calls him. And you'll see in all of Solomon's writings, and of course throughout all the pages of the Bible, that the Bible never has anything good to say about a slothful man. The slothful man is not something that we should strive to be. A slothful man is something that we should rather avoid becoming in our life. And maybe you say, well, Brother Nathan, I'm not a slothful person. I am busy all the time. It just seems like there's not enough hours in the day. I can certainly not be a slothful person. Well, dare I say this morning, dear friends, that we can still be slothful, but be busy all the time. We can be so busy around the clock that we just barely have time to sit down, if you will, but we can still be slothful. Slothfulness is not the same as idleness. And we can be very busy working and doing things that are the wrong things to be doing, that are being done for the wrong motives or with the wrong goals or with the wrong intentions in this life. You know, the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25, and he's telling Timothy that he should, in meekness, instruct those that oppose themselves. We can be doing things in this life, being very busy in this life, and yet being busy, we can work against ourselves and oppose ourselves, as the Apostle Paul says. Again, doing the wrong things or with the wrong motives, the wrong intentions. Or the Apostle Paul would write to the church at Thessalonica in his second epistle in chapter 3 and verse 11. And he says, well, in verse 10, shortly before that, he says that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And then he goes on in verse 11 and says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. Notice this, working not at all, working not at all, but are busybodies. You ever heard of a busybody? Somebody that just stays busy all the time? Somebody that's constantly going about doing this or doing that, but it has no real fruit that can come of it? In this particular context, I think the Apostle Paul is saying these people are busy going about sticking their noses in things that are none of their business. They're going around house to house. They're whispering with each other. They're gossiping. They're backbiting. They're slandering. He's saying you can be busy doing all of these things. These are things which, again, I think would fall under that opposing ourselves. He said you can be a busybody, do that from sun up to sundown, but you're not working at all. You're not really doing anything fruitful. And that's what we have to be careful of. Even though you say, Brother Nathan, I'm busy, but even though being busy, are we being slothful? We need to perhaps put in proper perspective those things that are of greater importance, those things that are of a higher priority. We have a work, of course, to do in Zion, don't we? As the Lord's people, there's a work for us to do every day of our life, that we are spiritually building one another up, that we're promoting the name of Jesus Christ, that we're going about spreading that good news, that we are being ready to answer every man that asks of the reason of the hope that is within us, that we're living in a way that would not bring shame and reproach upon the name of Jesus Christ, that we're defending the truth, that we're fighting that good fight of faith. There's all these things that we need to be doing, bearing forth the fruit of the Spirit, all these things that we need to be doing, but yet we may not be doing them. And in not doing them, we may still be busy, but we're yet slothful at the end of the day. So slothful is not just idleness. It's not just sitting around twiddling our thumbs. Rather, slothfulness, I believe, is putting off and procrastinating on those needful things and those things that really matter at the end of the day. And slothfulness, dear friends, is a sin. It's a sin. Of course, obviously, if we're told that we're not to be slothful, if we are slothful, that makes sense that it would be a sin. But slothfulness is just as much of a sin in not doing what we're supposed to be doing as in doing something that we're not supposed to be doing. Does that make sense? The Lord says, don't do this, and you do it. That's a sin. The Lord says, do this, and you don't do it. That, too, is a sin. Slothfulness is a sin. You look at Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. You'll see there where the children of Israel, they're on the cusp of the promised land. And there comes two tribes to Moses. And these two tribes, those are the tribes of the children of Gad and the children of Reuben. And these two tribes, now they've come to Moses and they say, you know what? We really don't want to go over into the promised land. We really don't want to have an inheritance on the other side of Jordan. This land over here, it's very suitable for our cattle. We would rather really just stay here. And so Moses is talking to them about that, and he says, well, you know, I think what you're saying makes sense, but you need to go over and you need to help your brethren claim their inheritance. You need to go out and help them drive out the nations from before them. You need to have a part in that. And they said, don't worry, we'll do that. We'll make sure that we fulfill that promise, that we go and we help our brethren claim their inheritance. But when it's all over, we want to come back to this side of Jordan. Now notice what Moses tells them there in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. He says that if you fail to do it, if you do not do it, it is a sin against the Lord and your sins will find you out. So doing nothing is just as much of a sin as doing something that you were told not to do. He says, if you don't fulfill your promise, if you don't do that which you're supposed to do, it's a sin before the Lord. And so seeing that it's a sin, you might say, well, Brother Nathan, what is the sinful part of slothfulness? How is it a sin? Well, I dare say this morning, dear friends, that slothfulness is a sin of desire. It's a sin of desire. You say, you may be busy doing all these things and you're doing those things for desire. A slothful person doesn't do things because he has a desire as well. Notice what Solomon says in Proverbs 13 and 4, that the soul of the sluggard desireth, so it shows that he has a desire, he desireth and hath nothing. He wants something, but he has nothing. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verses 25 and 26, he says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long." So what's the desire of the slothful? The slothful is one that wants, but isn't willing to work. Can I say that this morning? It's very simple. A slothful person is one that constantly wants things. He's coveting all the day long. He wants so many things that he sees in the world. He wants, but he's not willing to work. That's the problem with a slothful person. His desire is one of comfortableness. That's what he wants in life. He just wants to lay back and just have everything given to him. He wants everything just handed to him. And he's not really willing to do anything for it. He wants to be comfortable. Well, dare I say this morning, dear friends, that the Lord's people should never strive to be comfortable in this life. We're never really going to be comfortable, if you will. But we can be comforted. We know that, don't we? In this life, we're going to have problems. Job said that man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We're going to have problems. We're going to be hated by the world. We're going to have relationship problems with others if we are a true disciple of Jesus Christ. We're going to be hated by the world. We're going to have all these things going wrong, so to speak, in our lives. But yet we're comforted by the fact that our Lord is with us. He's promised He'll never leave us alone. He'll give us strength for the days ahead. Those are the things we can take comfort in. But being comforted is not the same thing as being comfortable. And that's what a slothful person wants. He wants to be comfortable. But the children of God need to be going forward, striving to do those things that the Lord has commanded them to do, being comforted by the promises of God. So we're commanded to not be slothful. Again, the Apostle Paul, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, he says, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. That's a commandment, I believe, to not be slothful. More plainly stated, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul expressly says, be not slothful in business. Be not slothful in business. Now, I think that's the business of many things. That's the business of this world. We shouldn't be slothful in the affairs of this life. When we go to our jobs, we shouldn't be slothful. When it comes to the relationships we have inside our families, we shouldn't be slothful. When it comes to our seats in the kingdom of God and being disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we should not be slothful. Just as one can be slothful naturally in the business of this world, they can be slothful in the business of their God. They can be slothful spiritually and slothful naturally. You say, well, Brother Nathan, how do I know if I'm being slothful? Well, again, if you look through the pages of Proverbs and Solomon's writing, he's going to tell you many things that are characteristic of a slothful person. One of the characteristics is a procrastinator. They just keep putting things off. They just say, give me 5 more minutes. Give me 10 more minutes. They just never get to the job. They're constantly procrastinating, hitting the snooze button on life, if you will, saying, just give me a few more minutes. Notice the words of Solomon in Proverbs 6 and 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? And the slothful person responds, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. They say, just give me a few more minutes. Just give me a few more minutes and I'll get up and I'll do what I need to do. I just need a little bit longer. And before you know it, they've gone to sleep and they've wasted their day away. They're constantly procrastinating, or they're a vexation to those that are depending upon them to get the job done. They're nothing but a source of trouble to their employers or to those that, as I said, are depending on them. Solomon says in Proverbs 10, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. You ever had smoke in your eyes? It's not a pleasant thing. Solomon's not writing about something that's pleasant. Everybody wants to move away from the smoke when they're sitting around a campfire. It always seems to follow you for some reason. But you take your lawn chair and you move around a little bit further. Here comes a smoke in your eyes. That's not pleasant. Get up and move around again. Nobody wants that. Solomon says, just as unpleasant as that is, so is a slothful man to the person that sends him. It's just vexation to him. You can't depend on him to get the job done. You tell him, here's the task at hand, and he just keeps procrastinating and putting it off and putting it off. He never is able, for some reason, to complete a task ahead of schedule, let alone complete it on ahead of time. They can't do it on time, certainly can't do it ahead of time. So, he's a procrastinator. He's one that you can't depend on. He's a vexation to those that are depending on him. He's one that is so lazy, if you will, he'd simply rather starve himself than to do something about it. Notice, again, the words of Solomon in Proverbs 19. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. So, he's so lazy. He's got his hand tucked away, but he's just going to leave it there. He'd rather leave his hand tucked away than to use his own energy and effort to feed himself. That's a slothful man, just so lazy, he'd rather starve. You know, when I think about that, and I think about being slothful spiritually, I wonder how many of the Lord's people fall into that category. They'd rather just starve spiritually than do anything about it. When it comes to going to church, they'd rather just procrastinate. They'd rather put it off. There'll be a more convenient time for it. When it comes to joining the church, there's always a more convenient time in the eyes of some. When it comes to reading the scripture, it's too early in the morning, it's too busy in the afternoon, or it's too late in the evening. They're always putting that off. Sometimes, when it comes to the spiritual things of life, I think some of the Lord's people would rather starve than actually put in the effort that's required to feed themselves. The Lord's given us plenty of spiritual food right here. All we have to do is pick it up and start eating. But the slothful, he'll tuck his hand in his bosom and he'll say, forget it. I'm not doing anything to correct this matter. He's one that comes up with excuses all the time. Just one excuse after another. Notice Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. He says, it's just not the right time. It's just too cold. I'm just going to wait a little bit longer. And he never actually gets the job done. He avoids work constantly. He says that there's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Can you imagine that excuse of all the craziest excuses? I can't go do this because there's a lion out there. That's just one of the craziest excuses somebody might come up with. But that's what a slothful man does. Just one crazy excuse after another in order to avoid work. But here's one that's perhaps even more sobering. In our text, Solomon says he's a man void of understanding. He's a slothful man, and he's a man void of understanding. That's not a good place to be in. That's not a place that we should want to be in. How many of us want to be willfully ignorant in this life? Solomon says you will be ignorant if you become slothful in your life. You say, well, Brother Nathan, why is he void of understanding? It could be perhaps because his inaction or his slothfulness, it actually shows him how little he knows that he ought to be doing. You say, Brother Nathan, what are you trying to say? Sometimes when I start to do a task, I don't know how much I have to do until I start the task. Until I start doing the work that's required, then I realize and I come to understand how much more is required. Sometimes it really doesn't just register with me until I start getting my hands dirty how much I really have to do. And that could be why the slothful man is void of his understanding, because he never starts. And if he never starts, how's he going to know how much he has to do? Isn't that true in our natural lives? I think it is. It's true in our spiritual lives. Some might be slothful and they say, well, I'm saved by grace. I'm secure in the hand of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that can change that. I'm heaven bound and I just can be slothful here in this life. Well, sometimes when you actually then start to study the doctrines of grace and see what the Lord has done for you, then you actually realize how much there is for you to do. Not for your home in heaven, but for here and right now. You realize how much energy and how much work is required if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Or maybe they're void of understanding because they've passed up on opportunities in life. A slothful man, he never wants to challenge himself. He never wants to press the limits, if you will. He'll just pass up on these different opportunities. But I dare say in our lives, we learn a lot by challenging ourselves and by taking on opportunities that we hadn't really thought about. You just kind of stretch your mind and stretch your abilities. But the slothful man won't do that. So he's void of understanding perhaps in that regard. And dare I say that we shouldn't pass up on opportunities. I don't believe the Lord has put any of us here to have a life of uselessness. I believe the Lord expects us to do wonderful and great things in our lives. And I believe that there are things that come about in our lives, opportunity that the Lord gives to us, opportunities that present ourselves, that we should take complete and full advantage of in this life. Or perhaps a slothful man, he's void of understanding because he hasn't fulfilled the duties that he's been given to do. Or his abilities, as I said, are not put to use in this life. He doesn't take seriously those things that matter the most. Or maybe he has no idea what he's missing out on. He's got no idea what he's losing out on. If you're a slothful man, you never take advantage of opportunities. You never press the envelope, if you will, stretch your abilities. You never begin any work at all. Then how in the world are you going to know what you're losing out on? You're not going to know. And so you're void of understanding, perhaps, in that regard. And I think that's true, again, naturally, and I think it's true spiritually. There are many blessings that come to the life of the child of God because they decide to get their hands dirty and start doing the work that the Father has given to them to do. And so we then, by doing that work, we realize how much there is to gain. We realize all the blessings that come from a life of obedience and that sweet and perfect fellowship that we have with the Father, that peace, that contentment, that joy that we can have. The slothful man, he doesn't know any of that. He's void of understanding because he doesn't even choose to do anything in that direction. But interesting, Solomon says here, he says that he went by this field. It was grown over with thorns and nettles. They had covered the face. The wall was broken down. Then notice what he says in verse 32. He says, "Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction." So Solomon says, I learned something here. When's the last time you walked by a thorny field and learned something? Solomon was pretty wise. He's a lot wiser than I am. He could walk by a thorny field and he could learn something from it. He could glean some information from that. And I think Solomon, when he was passing by this field of the slothful man, I think he learned some of the problems that come about and some of the consequences that flow from being slothful, both naturally and spiritually. The problems and the pressures that are created in our lives by being slothful. Problems in our relationships. Problems financially, naturally speaking. Problems that come about spiritually because we're slothful in our duties. Perhaps we don't take to heart the knowledge that the Lord has given to us. We're slothful in reading His Word. And because we're slothful in reading His Word and feeding ourselves spiritually, and we're void of understanding, then we have problems in our lives. We have decisions that we have to face, and we just don't know how to face them. We just don't know what direction to go because we don't know what the Lord would have us to do. We don't know how perhaps we ought to be behaving ourselves in this life. There are just so many issues of life that can go wrong if you don't understand what the Lord would have you to do. There's problems, there's pressures that come about, there's pain that comes about by being slothful. You know, being slothful naturally in a physical sense, you can have a lot of pain that comes from that, can't you? You don't exercise, you don't diet, you're going to face some health issues in your life. And I'm getting to that point where I'm starting to say, I told my wife the other day, I said, I think there's a gym down the road. I better join that gym. I better do something in my life. You know, because just down the road, I may not feel it yet, but maybe 5 years, 10 years down the road, when diabetes sets in and high blood pressure and heart problems and stuff like that, you know, those are pains that I didn't necessarily have to have in my life because I was slothful physically and naturally in my life. I can have pain in my life, and you can have pain in your life because you're slothful spiritually. You know, the hymn writer talks about needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Maybe you're slothful in your prayer life. Maybe you're slothful, as I've said many times before, in reading the Word of God, being attentive to the things of God. You're going to have a lot of pain in your life that you didn't have to have. Solomon, he's passing by this field, and he's saying there's problems that come about by being slothful naturally. His field's overtaken. He's got thorns. He's got thistles. He's got all these sorrows and griefs that have come upon him that he didn't otherwise have to have if he had just put in a little effort, if he hadn't been so slothful. He's going to have to work harder to get it back. You ever had a spot of ground? I know probably the Chastains had. You ever had a spot of ground that's been overtaken by thorns and thistles? It takes a lot of effort to get it back to what it should have been, to get it back to grass. Or if you've got a garden that you've let the weeds take over, it takes a lot more effort to get that garden back to the shape it should have been than it would have if you had just taken care of it all along. Around my house, I've got gravel, and I have some grass that grows up against the gravel. And the grass was starting to encroach on the gravel around my house. And you know, it took me hours and hours to get that grass out of that gravel because I'd let it get out of control. But now I've gotten ahead of it a little bit. I've got my weed killer and my grass killer. And now it's not so bad. Just every few weeks I walk around and I kill off the grass and create kind of a barrier. I'm not having to work near as hard now because I'm staying ahead of it than if I just let it all take over. And then, boy, that'd be hard work. Loss of security, I believe, is what this man, this slothful man, had faced. Loss of security. His wall was broken down. He didn't have any security for his house. His wall was broken down. That can be our lives, not eternally. We know we're secure in the hands of God eternally, but we can have a loss of the enjoyment that comes from knowing we're secure, from the loss of feeling secure in the hand of God. Or maybe we're not secure in our thinking and our theology, and we're tossed about with every wind of doctrine, tossed to and fro, as the Apostle Paul says. You want to be secure. You want to feel like you're secure. You want to stand fast on Jesus Christ, and don't be slothful. But rather work at it a little bit every day. It's going to be harder if you let the weeds and the thorns and the nettles, if you let all that take over, it's going to be harder. I think Solomon saw something here too, and that was that land will produce something. Land's going to produce something. It's either going to produce good stuff or it's going to produce bad stuff. And here he's seeing that land is going to produce something. We're not just blanks in this life. Either we're working for good or we're working for evil. And if you're slothful, you're going to be working for evil rather than keeping the land and tending to the fruits of the Spirit and so forth. You can either bring good or you can bring evil. And Solomon, he's saying here and seeing, I believe, understanding that the land is going to bring something forth. And if unkept, it's going to bring forth a great deal of what comes natural to the land. Do you see that? The land wasn't kept to. It was untended. And because of that, thorns and nettles everywhere, just taking over the whole place. That can be our lives. That can be our experience in this life. That if we are slothful, naturally, spiritually, sorrows and griefs, as I said, will just begin to take over our lives. The evilness that is in our hearts, the deceitfulness that's in our hearts, all of this sin that we are trying to suppress as children of God, it's just going to spring forth. It's just going to come forth bearing thorns and nettles and thistles. It's going to produce something, either good or bad, but it's going to produce, if unkept, of course, that which comes natural to it, and a great deal of it as well. But you know, good intentions, and I think Solomon probably understood this as well, good intentions mean very little. You give this slothful man the benefit of the doubt. You say, well, he had good intentions. He probably had the idea that he was going to get to it eventually. He's just again procrastinating. There's just a lion outside. He was going to be slain, or it was too cold to do anything, whatever the case may be. But he had good intentions. Even seeing perhaps that he might have had good intentions, what good did that do him in the end? His farm, his field, it was still taken over. Even though he might have been sitting on his couch saying, I'm going to get to it one day. Well, he never did get around to it, did he? And there's a cost that comes with delaying our efforts and our work. There's a high cost to that. Now, I was reminded as I was thinking on this, as I was thinking about the baptism that we just had and how I had mentioned at the water's edge there, how I had never met anybody that said they wish they'd waited a little bit longer to be baptized. Never met anybody that said, I wish I had just put it off a little bit longer. But seeing that, and seeing how many of the Lord's people who have put it off, they'll usually say, I waited too long. They usually say, I waited too long to follow the Lord. And they feel as though they lost something. They feel as though it cost them something, some enjoyment in this life by kicking the can down the road. And that's true. That's true of a slothful man. When he just keeps kicking the can down the road, he's costing himself something by procrastinating. He's costing himself, again, the joy and the peace that can be his. Maybe he has good intentions. Maybe you go to the slothful man in the morning and he's just now perhaps starting to get out of bed and he, as Solomon says, just wants a few more minutes. How long without sleep, O sluggard? He says, you know, it's not going to take me long to do the job, or it's really not going to make a big difference if I just wait a few more minutes. Just give me a few more minutes. Then you come back to the slothful man around noon and you'll say, you know, it's just too hot. Just too hot. I better wait on to the evening. And then you go and you see him a third time in the day and you say, it's evening. It's time to get going. And he says, oh, it's not going to do me any good to get started now. I'll start tomorrow. It's evening. It's getting on close to bedtime. That's what a slothful man does, as I said. He just keeps putting it off and putting it off. But one that keeps delaying, even in small increments, saying, just give me a little bit longer, just give me a little bit longer, I dare say he'll never get the job done. He'll never get it done. If you say, just give me a little bit longer, he'll keep kicking the can down the road and losing and costing himself things in this life. Again, that's true naturally and it's true spiritually. I think it's the same lesson for both applications. And so Solomon, he's not painting a very good picture of a slothful man, is he? You say, well, Brother Nathan, I feel like I've been slothful. I don't know if you feel that way or not. I'm preaching to myself this morning, and maybe some of this will be applicable to you, but it's applicable to me. You say, Brother Nathan, I feel slothful this morning. I want to save myself. I don't want to be slothful anymore. What can I do to not be a slothful person? Well, it's actually quite simple. There's no magic formula for you. One of the first things you need to do is just get up. One of the first things you need to do is just get going, if you will. You know, Solomon, he writes in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, and he says, go to the ant, O sluggard. He's saying, just get up and go. Go to the ant, learn from that tiny little seemingly weak and frail creature how even though he seems weak and frail, yet he's able to do so much. He's able to carry so much more than his own body weight. He's able to work together as a team member for the betterment of the colony, if you will. Just be like the ant. Learn some things from that little creature, if you will. Just get up, go to the ant, see how he does it, and be the same. Not only that, but it just requires some old-fashioned hard work. Just a little bit of elbow grease saying, I'm not going to let this slothfulness take over my life. I'm going to do something about it. Good intentions, as I said, are good, but they never end up getting much done. But some old-fashioned elbow grease and saying, I'm not going to let this happen, that will actually accomplish something in your life. Getting up and doing those things which you need to do. Again, as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3, he says, if a man doesn't work, then he shouldn't eat. Well, what fixes the problem? He goes to work. He goes to work. That's all that's required. Just get up, learn something about how you're behaving, and perhaps gain some wisdom from the smallest creatures as the ant, and then just put in some old-fashioned elbow grease and get to work. That's what will solve the problem. Now, of course, I want to say this morning that when the Apostle Paul says that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat, I don't think he's talking about every man without exception. I think what the Apostle Paul is referring to there, in a natural sense, are those that have the ability to work, those that can work. If they come to the members of the church and say, you know what, I've fallen on hard times, I just need some help. If they're able to work and yet they're looking for handouts, I think that's an admonishment to the church that maybe the church shouldn't help them necessarily monetarily, maybe just encourage them to go out and do a little bit for themselves. I think that's what the Apostle Paul's getting at. But he's, again, saying just put in some old-fashioned elbow grease and get up and go to work. And dare I say, one of the things that will help you the most in not being slothful is realizing who you're working for. Realize who you're doing it for. If you can keep your eye fixed not on yourself or on the glory that you might receive or on anybody else really in this life, but if you keep your eyes fixed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you say, I'm doing this for Him and for His glory, that ought to be some motivation for you. That ought to be some motivation to say, He's done so much for me. He wasn't a slothful man when He was here. He was a busy man. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ never wasted a single minute. He was very busy, and as my example, I should follow after Him. But more than that, He deserves it. I need to do it for Him, the one that's done everything for me. The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians and he says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily and do it unto the Lord. When it comes to your jobs, when it comes to your families, when it comes to physical exercise, if you will, whatever you do, when it comes to my ministry, I need to be doing it for the Lord. That's my motivation. And I dare say that'll help us in our minds not be slothful. Whatever we do, we need to do it heartily and we need to do it unto the Lord. And in doing so, we won't be like this man that Solomon saw when he walked by his field. We won't have the thorns and the nettles taken over. We won't have our walls broken down. We'll have just the most beautiful kept fields you ever saw, bringing forth some of the most beautiful fruits of the Lord that could possibly be brought forth. Be not slothful, dear friends, and I'll do my best as well. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Let's stand and sing number 193 this morning. And we'll offer membership. If there's anybody here that would like to unite with Fort Wayne, let it be known.